called Post-it Notes from God. That's the reason I wore my Post-it Note shirt. Man, I look like a billboard. I look like I got them stuck all over me. I told my wife, I said, honey, watch what I wear. You know, tomorrow. Man, I look at the closet, it all looks the same to me. She saw this shirt. She said, wear that. It looks like Post-it Notes. All right, baby, all right. Anyway. But somebody this week sent me a letter, had a little cutout in it, and I appreciate letters and notes that you send. It sure does encourage me. But had some elephants, and one elephant had Post-it Notes stuck all over it. And the other elephant said, that's so he won't forget. Amen? So, Post-it Notes. Something else I saw this week, paper delivered to my room as I was out in Southern California. And so we look at the paper, Daytona 500, that's the date. Here we go. We like the Daytona thing. I'm from Rockingham, North Carolina, home of great racing. But then we're reading the paper, bing, 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 and look at this. What's in the paper? The name? Post-it Notes celebrating 25 years. Man, are we winning or what? Let's go with the message now. We use the big screen. If you have your Bible, we ask you to turn along. It's the little book of Philemon we're going to look at today. It's way back in the back of your Bible. It's about 8 books back from the end. It's only 1 page long. So it's best to find the book of Hebrews and just back it up 1. Hebrews and back it up 1. And you'll be in the book of Philemon. So I need your attention. Come on, time for the message. And I'm excited about the new series of the last 4 weeks. And looking at some Post-it Notes from God. There are 4 one-chapter books in the New Testament. They are, here they are. Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and what? Jude. And I call these, say it with me, Post-it Notes from God. You ever use little Post-it Notes? Write little things on them? Stick them on the fridge? Stick them on your desk? Stick them on your dash? Listen, these are little one-chapter books. Today's book, I believe, has 25 verses in it. So it's just small. But sometimes those little Post-it Notes, they can really help you, can't they? They can help you with direction, what you need to do. Man, you stick them everywhere so you won't forget and get in trouble. Right? Do that? That's what these do. These all have a message, and we're going to look at them individually over the next 4 weeks. The first one today, say it with me. Philemon. Say it one more time. Philemon is the name of the little book. And Raj, we're going to have to put it in here today, buddy, because we're behind, so we got to skew. This was written by the Apostle Paul from prison. This little book of Philemon, written by the Apostle Paul while he was locked up. Actually, the Bible tells us that he went to Rome. He was going to be tried all these different places. When you read the book of Acts, he gets to Rome. And he did have the pleasure of being locked up in his own hired house. So he was locked up under chain to a Roman guard, but he was able to be locked up in his own hired house or rented house. So therefore, he could still carry on some ministry and talking to people and sharing the gospel. He always wanted to go to Rome anyway, the Apostle Paul. He didn't really think he'd get there this way, but he got there. And he's able to share the gospel. Let's look at Philemon, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So he wrote this book from prison. Now let's look at some Post-it Notes. First of all, this book is going to be divided, at least we're going to divide it into 3 categories this morning. Here's category number 1. Paul praises Philemon. Paul praises Philemon. And we'll see that through about verse number 7. Let's read it. Verse 2. So he wrote the book from where? Prison. And he wrote it to a man named Philemon. Verse 2. So he writes it to Philemon and to our beloved Apphia, that's his wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So Philemon had a church in his house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God for you, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and thy faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels and the hearts of the saints are refreshed by you, brother. So Paul praises Philemon. Now, some post-it notes, things that I think are important as we look at this book. First of all, Philemon. His name means, can you read that? One who is kind. Say that one more. This is important. Philemon's name means one who is kind. And we see that in these opening verses. Let's look at it. Let's review right quick. He was full of kindness and love, this man Philemon. So Paul's in prison. He's writing this letter under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. By the way, Paul wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament. 9 we call general epistles. That's to churches. And 4 were personal epistles or personal letters to people. This falls under which category? The personal letters to people part. Okay? And this Philemon was a man full of kindness and love. He had kindness and love for his friend Paul the Apostle. And we see that in verse number 1. He calls him my dearly beloved and my fellow laborer. This Philemon had a connection with Paul, and he loved Paul, and Paul loved him. So his name means one who is kind. He's full of kindness and love. He had love for his family. You see how Paul mentioned his family? That's unusual in the Scriptures to see somebody's family mentioned like that. This man had a love for his family, for his wife, and for his son. Matter of fact, if you check out Colossians, and that's where Philemon was from, was Colossae. But you'll see Archippus, I believe in chapter 4, verse 17, Archippus takes Epaphras' place as pastor at Colossae so he can go and be with Paul in prison. And his son becomes the pastor at the church at Colossae. And so this man loved his family. Philemon was a kind man, had love. He had love for Jesus Christ as Lord. I believe it's verse number 7 talks about his love for Jesus. How did you love Jesus Christ and how you refreshed the saints? It might be verses 8 and 9 as well. He also, listen, he loved people. Philemon loved people, especially Christians. Are you catching the little note that we ought to hang something on here so far? Look, his name means what? One who is, help me, I'm dying. Come on, one more time. One who is, there you go, there you go. Now what does this do for me? How does this speak to me? One who is kind, I want that said of me. Did you hear me say it? I learned that from this book. I want that said of me. I don't want it said of me. I'm perfect. I can't never be that. But I can be kind. Amen? I want that said of me. Lord, I want that said of me, that I'm a kind individual. Let's look at it. That I love my friends. I want that said of me. You want that said of you, that you love your friends? I want that said especially of me, that I love my friends who are pastors. Something that makes me sick. I'm sorry, my wife said, I don't know if you need to say that. Here, say it. Here you go. It sickens me to see the game playing that goes on between pastors. And that's not something maybe you as, you know, lay people see. But you know, it bothers me, friend, that if somebody would leave Fellowship Church and go to another fellowship church, or go to another church, that somehow I don't have fellowship with that pastor because somebody went to his church. That is stupid. Amen. Listen, if you go to another church, listen, you know what I care about? I care about you just being getting in the Word of God and you growing and you being a witness for Jesus Christ. We're part of the family of God, for crying out loud. I want it said of me that Pastor Clark is a friend to other pastors. Now, if they've sold out and they're not preaching the Word of God, I don't want it to be said of me that I'm their friend. I think the world of them because I don't. They ought to preach the Word. They don't all do it with my style. I don't do it with their style. That's not the point. Are you doing it? Are you sharing the Word? But this political slop playing boundary, whatever mess goes on, I can't stand it. All right, so I said it. I got off my chest. Said of me that I'm a friend to people and to pastors especially. I also want it said of me that I love my wife and my children. I hope you're sitting here saying the same thing you want it said of you today. I want it to be known that I love Joy Clark. She and I just got back from Southern California. Went to the NRB convention. She runs a local radio station, has for 14 years. and the Christian Station. So we go out there. She can go to FCC classes and all that and be up to speed on what she needs to know. And I met wonderful people, and I always have a good time. But you know what? It's the first time we could remember in 21 years. Now, we've traveled the world, but it's usually with other folk, you know? And it's usually with the children. We love our children to pieces. But it was so wonderful just the two of us to be together. I tell you, you can't beat being together in Laguna Beach. Oh. That was nice. Laguna Beach. And I knew we were going to have a good trip because right before we left, she said, "Honey, this is like a second honeymoon." Usually that's the man saying that, ain't it? We had a great time. I've only known that I love my wife. I want to be known as that. That man loves his wife. You can say that about me if you want. You don't have to say anything to me except that. That'd be fine. I only know that I love Mitch and Elise, my two children. Love them to pieces. Love them to pieces. You want to bother me, take me off, hurt my children. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, I'd rather you love them and encourage them and help them. Amen? But I love my kids. I can't help it. Amen? I love them. I hope you love your kids. I think Philemon was the same way. You love your youngins today? I really want to encourage you. Do whatever it takes to love your youngins. Did you hear me? I don't care what you've got to forgive or get over. Friend, love your wife. Love your husband. Love your youngins. Do it. Make it happen. That's what I'm learning. That's what the post-it note I want stuck on me. How about I love the Lord? All that said of me. That crazy part guy, he loves the Lord. Amen? He's crazy about Jesus. He believes in him. I want it to be known of me that I brag on Jesus. He's the one that saved me from that hell hole in Rockingham, North Carolina. That squalor I grew up in. It's all his glory. Everything. He gets all the credit. He did it all. You're not one of those wild-eyed preachers that love Jesus. Yeah, I am, maybe. Count me in. I want that to be said of me. You might not want that to be said of you. You need to get with the program. It's what it's about. Loving Jesus Christ. Love Him. The last thing. I want to be known to me that I love people. I love people. I love Christians especially. But that I love people. Not just the people that come to fellowship. All people. I do. I mean, I was at that ball game last night. Donkey's parents are here today. And I didn't get to know them last night. But they're here right now. They're from another country. But you know what? I just looked at that dad last night, so proud of his son there playing ball. And you know what? I just had an affection for that family. I want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be somebody who doesn't love people. So what is it today? Let's flip the screen. Here's your options. Country style. You want to be known as one who's kind or this? One who's mean as a snake. Is that what you want to be known as? How about this? You want to be known as one who's ill as a hornet. That's the way we say it down south. Listen, or how about this? One who's selfish as all get out. Folks, if you're going to be kind and if you're going to be loving and if you're going to have friends, you can't always be mean as a snake, ill as a hornet, and always got to have it your way. Your way. There are some people that demand of their friends that they do everything their way. Well, I don't want to be a friend of that person then. Lost my mic. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be that kind of friend. To be my friend, you've got to do everything my way. Go where we want to go, do what I say. It's crazy. You can get amazing things from the Bible. Bill's looking good. Man, where's that at, finally? Let's keep going. So Paul praised Philemon for being one who was kind and full of love. John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus said, "The world will know you belong to me." Watch it. If you what? So I get this from his post-it notebook today. Now let's look. We're going to move on. So the first thing he did is he praised Philemon. For what? For being somebody who was kind, who loved his family, who loved him as a friend, who loved the Lord, who loved people. Now Paul pleads with him. And this is what's happening. What usually happens when somebody praises you? Are you like me? When somebody starts to praise you, you start to duck? Or put your hands in your pocket? Uh-oh. They must want something. Well, that's what happens here in this story. That's right. It starts out. This is a good thing. This is a good thing. So he praises him, and he means it, but he wants something. Here it is. He pleads with him. Verses 8 and 9. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, it'd be nice if I could join you in Colossae. But for love's sake, I'd rather beseech you, being such as one as what? Paul the what? Aged. He's playing the old card. And now a what? A prisoner. I'm locked up. So he's praised him, and now he says, I'm old, and I'm locked up. Get ready to duck. Here it comes. So Paul was locked up in prison, and, you know, so we see that. Let's keep moving, Raj. He pleads for a man. Paul's not pleading for himself. Paul's not pleading for anything for himself. He's content to be locked up in prison. He has a ministry. He's old. But he pleads for a man named Onesimus. Or if you're from the South, one Simus. But the proper way to say it is Onesimus. Okay? I mean, it's not good to have a speech therapist sitting on the third row. Listen to my talk. Verse 10. He makes a plea for Onesimus. He said, I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. What does that mean? He says, I plead for this man named Onesimus because I've led him to Jesus while I've been locked up in Rome. I've been locked up in these chains, and I've met a man named Onesimus, and I've won him to Christ. And now he's a born-again believer. And so he pleads for this man, Onesimus, to Philemon. Why? What's it all about? Stay with me. Let's keep looking. Right. Paul led him to Christ. Let's keep moving. Verse 11. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. Wait a minute. But now profitable to thee and me. This must be a man that Philemon knew, right? Because he had been unprofitable to Philemon. But now profitable to thee and me. I don't know if you can read it. I'll read it for you. Onesimus was a runaway slave of Philemon. Did you just hear it? Onesimus was a slave that belonged to Philemon. And he had run away. He left him at Colossae and he ran to the big city of Rome to hide, to get lost in the big city. But instead of getting lost in the big city, he got found in the big city. Amen? He came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. So let's see what happens. Paul said in this verse that he had been unprofitable to you. That was unprofitable for him to be. And quite frankly, he was a piece of property. And he was Philemon's property. And he had run away. So let's see what happens. It reminds me of us. Isaiah 53:6. Say it with me if you can see it. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us. Oh, it reminds me, he reminds me of us. We've all gone astray. We're all messes. Here's what Martin Luther said in the 1500s. He said, we're all Onesimuses. Here's the way we say it in the South. Put it up, Rob. We lost it. Oh, thank you, Lord. We're all messes. friend. We are a mess, aren't we? We are a mess. Compared to a holy God, we're just a mess. We need help. We're all messes. Okay? I want you to remember that today. I don't think you'll forget it. Let's talk about just a second a topic that people ask me about and you think about. Historical documents estimated there were 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. 60 million slaves. A couple of facts on them. Slaves were sold on an average for 500 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. So you could buy a slave for about a year and a half salary. Some sold for as much as 50,000 denarii, a day's wages. So for Onesimus, just to turn tail and up and run was a loss, wasn't it? To Philemon. Let's look at something else about slavery. Let's talk about it. Slavery is not outright condemned in the New Testament. But keep going. Why? Is it wrong? The answer is, say it with me. Yes! Slavery is wrong. Then why wasn't the New Testament written and why does it just repeatedly condemn slavery? Because, my friend, Jesus Christ didn't come to make social changes. He came to save sinners. Do you understand? He didn't come to be a political movement. He came to save people from their sins. And guess what? When you save people from their sins, their heart changes. And their attitude changes. And I tell you what, if this ragtag bunch of disciples in the early church would have got out preaching with 60 million people that are slaves and all the slave owners, they'd have got on their soapbox and started preaching, slavery's wrong! Slavery's wrong! They'd have shut them down. They'd have been dead in a hammer. Gospel would have been over. We need to remember that. Now listen, I'm against slavery. I'm against every kind of bigotry. I think it's pathetic. I think it stinks. Okay? But we need to remember something. We have been called to share the gospel. We have been called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And I need to remember, and you need to remember, the church is not about politics. Hey, I'm as conservative as the day is long. You cut me out of conservative. That's just the way it is. Okay? But that's not what I'm about. Oh yeah, I'm pro-life. Absolutely. I'm for, you know, one man, one woman. Amen? I'm for all that. Praise God. That's what the Bible teaches. Absolutely. But let me tell you, friend, you know what I'm really about? Telling people about Jesus Christ. Telling people about Jesus Christ. And friend, that's the opportunity we have in this country is to share the gospel. That does not mean we shouldn't be involved, but that should not be the main calling of the church. Did you hear me today? Say it. I learned that from this little book. Oh yeah, it was wrong, but that wasn't what their calling was. And Paul had to work within the framework that he was given. And there was a man who was a slave, who was a runaway, who he led to Christ. And this slave had become a tremendous help to Paul in the prison work. But Paul said, look at the next verses. Oh, I'm sorry. His name means profitable. Means worthwhile. See, he'd been helping Paul. Keep looking. His name doesn't mean unprofitable. It means profitable. He'd become good for something. He'd become useful. He had a purpose. He was helping Paul. But as we keep going, verses 12 through 16, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels or my own heart, whom I would have retained with me, that in your stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without your mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he should therefore depart from me for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. Say it with me. A brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. I wrote on my little sticky note this word right here. Ethics. Paul was a man of ethics. He knew slavery was wrong. But Philemon was a runaway slave. And he sent him back to his master. I don't know if you're getting the point. I hope you're learning. He sent him back to his master, who Paul had also helped lead. Small world, isn't it? And he said, Philemon, he's a great guy. He was unprofitable to you, but he's really, his name means profitable. He's worth something, man. He's your brother now. And he said, I'm sending him back to you because even though you're not here helping me, you know, that'd be nice if you were. Little old still digging, ain't he? But I just ask you to forgive him. Would you do that? He's a good man. And that's what happens in this book. Let's see the last thing. So number one, he praises Philemon. Number two, he pleads with Philemon for a man named Onesimus, whose name means what? Profitable. Profitable. See, we're all Onesimuses. We're all Messeseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseseses You had purpose. You had meaning. God loves you to pieces. And He can work out all the details. Like we see in this story, crazy. But God is the master of details. The last thing we see is Paul partners with Philemon. Philemon verse 17. Paul says, "If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." Now this man could have been killed when he came back home. Do you understand that? So he was a runaway slave. And back then there were 60 million slaves. If you just let slaves run away, it's run away, it didn't do nothing. I want y'all to run away. Be a mutiny. Right? And so Onesimus had to have a lot of faith, didn't he, to go back, because he knew what could have happened. But Paul pleads for his case, and now he says, "If you count me a partner, receive him as myself." When you look at him, you look at me. Next, verse 18. "If he hath wronged me or owes you aught, put that on my account." I love this man. Whatever he did, charge it to me. Boy, I want to be like that, don't you? Man, I want a difference made in my life. And Christ can make that difference. He can take your hard, old stingy heart, and He can change it. I want that in my life. Put that on my account. Whatever he's done wrong or owes you. Look at this. This reminds me of Jesus back to Isaiah 53. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. And in that verse, the old, we're all messes, isn't here? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That sounds like Paul too, doesn't it? Paul said, "If he's wronged you, listen, put that on me. Put that on me." Boy, I like this right here. Simple old plain English I wrote down, but look at it. "Put the mess he made on me." Isn't that good? How many of you made a mess in your life? Can I see your hand? Look at that. Isn't that good that Jesus looked at you and he's talking to the Father and he said, "Put that mess they made on me." Isn't that good stuff right there? "Put that mess he made on me. I will repair it." That's what I learned from this little boy. Jesus loves me. I need to be like him. I need to be that way. And then finally, as we close up the book, "I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit," here's another little jab, "I do not say to thee how you owest to be, even your own self besides." That's a personal letter, man. I mean, "I'll repay it, but you know, you owe me your life." Remember that. Verse 20. "But he knew who he was writing." He was writing a man whose name means what? One who is? He knew it, didn't he? Could people write you this kind of letter? Could they ask these kinds of things of you? Good thought. See, he could say these little things because he knew verse 20. "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels, refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do what? more than I say. I tell you what, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be a Christian who's kind, and I don't always arrive there, but that's what I want in my life. But I want it when people, if they talk to me or they would want something, I would want them, even though it might be a tough request, for them to have the confidence to say, you know, I believe he'll do that and even more. Boy, that's a tall deal to fill, huh? Finally, Paul had absolute confidence that Philemon would forgive and do even more than that. We're finishing up a message. Verse 22, but withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust through your prayers I shall be given unto you. He was basically saying, prepare me a place to stay. Hope to see you soon. The little letter of Philemon. Did you get something out of it today? It's a little book in the Bible. God wrote it for a purpose. What did I get on my post-it note? There's a couple other verses. He gives greetings and all that kind of stuff. But what did I put on my post-it note? What did I learn today? Put it up, Raj. Here's what I learned. I want to be one who is kind to Jesus. Can you say that with me? I want to be one who is kind for Jesus. My other little post-it note, sticky thing, here it is. I want to be one who is, say it with me, profitable for Jesus. Stick that on me. That's what I want in my life. And the last one, I want to be one, say it with me, who is a burn for Jesus. Folks, Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for you and for me right now. He has called you and me to salt and the light. Okay? If people are going to come to know Christ, if our world's going to be changed, He needs some partners. Did you hear me? And if you're not kind, it's not going to happen. And if you don't think that you have any purpose or you can make a difference, you probably won't. But you can make a difference. And you can partner with Jesus Christ and make a difference in your world. Stick those notes on me. You can stick them on Facebook. Help you. Sorry. Post-it notes from God. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that we'll leave this place with a commitment to be kind, to be loving to people. Help us not be mean as a snake and ill as a woman. Help us, God. We struggle. Help us to be profitable. Help us to be your partner, Lord Jesus, to our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.